Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
All right, the Rockets win last night, 131-116. This was just a complete annihilation. The only time the Warriors ever got anything going was when it was backup-on-backup violence at the beginning of the fourth quarter. Rockets brought their starters back in. They were able to steer the ship into the shore and bring home a win, in which, at their peak, they were up by 30 points in this game. And that was in the first half. They were up by 30 in the first half of this game. Seth, the two wins in this series, now they've both been at home, so they've still got to win one here in San Francisco, obviously, but this is a very basic reason why I'm bullish on their chances to take this thing to a seventh game. They have proven, it sounds weird to say this because they're trailing 3-2, but the two games that they've won, they have run the Warriors off the floor. I will grant that it was an undermanned Warriors team in game two. There was no Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler wasn't great last night either, but in game two, Pazemski had some sort of food poisoning, so they were without... You know, they were without for most of the game because that's when Butler got hurt, or without for most of the game because of illness, two of their rotational key guys. Still, the Rockets blew them out. You know, like it wasn't like it was a close game with the Rockets beat them by 15 points. They were clearly the better team. Last night, they were clearly the better team. In the other three games, it's been more the Rockets shooting themselves in the foot. In game one, they had 16 turnovers. Throughout the three losses, it's been an inability to knock down free throws. You know, their three-point shooting has not been great at times, but we knew that going in. That's who they are. Jalen Green disappearing for those three games and scoring. You know, he only scored 11 last night, but he wasn't doing bad things.
He wasn't hurting them.
Yeah. That's why I am optimistic about their chances tomorrow night, because to me, even though they're trailing 3-2 and the Warriors have won 60% of the games and the Rockets have won 40, I feel like if you just watch the overall play in this series, the Rockets have had the much higher ceiling in this series of its.
If things are clicking the way they're capable of clicking, then it was like last night when on the night, the Warriors actually out-rebound the Rockets, but in the first half when it really, really mattered, the Rockets took advantage of their offensive rebounds. There was that stretch where they were 5-for-7 on converting offensive rebounds, and in the same time, the Warriors were 8-of-23. And you piled on. I'm trying to be like, just relieve all of my fears and everything else about the second half, because by and large, you know, if at any point in a game versus the Warriors, you think you're going to just keep a 30-point lead for the entire duration, whether their backups are in or not. No, you're not going to. That 30-point lead is going to evaporate at some point. So, yes, the Warriors were able to make a push there and eventually get within 13. But by and large, the Rockets did what they needed to do. It was that version of the Rockets in the first half where they were aggressive as hell. They were able to push the pace because they were stealing the ball and do all of those things that they need to be doing. Yes, that was exactly the version of the Rockets. It's completely and totally capable of beating the Warriors.
You know how, I mean, you and I sit in the press box at the Texans games together. You and I have both been in plenty of press boxes. You know, like when a game is over, they've got one of those interns that walks around and hands the sheet to you with the box score on it and all the stats after the game is over. And you get to look at what the final stats were and formulate some opinions or do some box score forensics. They should have just started walking around the press box last night when the Warriors took all their starters out of the game. That was the final score. I know the Rockets had to bring their starters back in because the bench was screwing up. But in terms of when this game was won with the guys that matter for both teams, it was when all, like, so that's the final score to me. And I'm guessing the Rockets were out rebounding them, out shooting them, had fewer turnovers. I'm guessing they were beating them in every facet of the box score when they get, you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, ultimately, they were at one point there in the first half, they were 69% from three or whatever.
I got the numbers right here. They were 69% from the field, 60% from three, and 85% from the line.
Yeah, and from the line, your starters were really good. Amongst the starters, they missed a total of, I think, three free throws amongst the starters. Like, that part of it was eight, which I'm willing to accept. Like, hey, that's not going to be like that every night.
No.
But they were shooting 50% from the line as a team in some of these losses.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they were much closer to what their average free throw shooting was in the regular season last night. And that's enough to be part of scoring the most points that the Rockets have ever scored against the Warriors in the playoffs. That was nice to see.
Yeah, it was nice to see. They shot 84% from the line last night as a team. They were 32 of 38. For the game, they were 32 of 38. Part of me is like, I just wish they hadn't wasted it on this game, you know? The game where they're up by 30 and they're like, they can't miss. They could have used those in a game where it's like, you know, it's a 3-point margin down the stretch, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, like, I'm a hell of a putter when I don't have a gallery of people watching me and $1 million on the line.
Yeah.
It's amazing how easy it is for me to make a 3-foot putt.
Right. Yeah.
When I don't have to do it with any pressure on me whatsoever.
Amazing putter with a 15-stroke lead. I'm not overconfident or uber confident in this, but like I think they're going to go in. I think they're going to fight on Friday night, and I think if they hit their free throws at that rate, like it might be the difference. You know, like if they're not missing 11 free throws, if they're missing like they did last night, you know, they shot a ton of them last night. 38 free throws is a lot in a game. It might be something as simple as that, and the fact that Amen Thompson seems to have figured some things out as well.
And Steph Curry's thumb.
Yes.
Steph Curry's thumb is a factor. All right, what's going to bail you out in a game like that last night is Steph Curry. We all know. We've seen Steph Curry score 0 points in the first half and then go off into the extreme double digits in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
But his thumb is bothering him, and Dylan Brooks is not helping that thumb out at all.
Yeah.
Dylan Brooks is like that evil nurse in a movie that comes in like to the coma patient and screws up the
nurse
IV
Ratchet.
Or something.
Yeah, Nurse
That's
Ratchet.
That's what he is.
Yeah, man. Kids, go see One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, an Academy Award winner when your parents were a kid.
Read the book. The movie's okay. Go ahead.
Sounds like a lot of work, man. here's Dylan Brooks on the very phenomenon Seth is talking about. Dylan Brooks, they're defending Steph Curry. He's got a thumb brace, so when he's shooting the basketball, they're making a point to try to hit him on the thumb.
No, I've been playing the game. If you're gonna come play the game injured or whatever you got, it's all about the game. You know, if I had an injured ankle, I would attack that ankle every single time. So, whatever they're saying on the broadcast, they can keep saying it.
Yeah, and what he's referring to is the broadcast for the local broadcast for the Warriors were bringing this up last night. You know,
and the Warriors themselves have a history of Draymond Green just viciously hacking at people's injuries before. So the Warriors are the last team that I want to hear a sob story from.
Draymond will go after uninjured parts of people. And I cite various nut shots to players. I don't think
our scrotums ever in an invulnerable position. They don't wear cups on the basketball court.
But I've never seen an injury report in which Steven Adams' scrotum was on the injury report. And Draymond still goes after that in every game, it seems like. Who was it? It was Tari Eason the other night that Draymond basically did a leg drop on his head, or was that Ahmed? I can't remember. Maybe
that was Tari.
Is it Tari? Yeah, just comes down and just leg Hulk Hogan leg drop right on his face. I didn't check the injury report before the game and see that Tari Eason's face was something that should be gone after. And yeah,
that was one thing people were upset. That was a play where Reggie Miller seemed to be describing something completely different than what he was seeing on the replay screen. Right? Yeah, that was for if the people who are watching the national broadcast were not happy with Reggie Miller in that moment.
Yeah, yeah. Tomorrow, did they happen to talk about on the national? I watched the local broadcast. Vanessa had a little, not feature, but like one of the little mini vignettes when they come back from break and they go, hey, let's go down to Vanessa Richardson. And apparently the Thompson parents, you know, they've got two sons in the playoff right now. They've got Amen in the playoffs and his twin brother who was drafted by the Pistons with the very next pick a couple of years ago, Osar, is in the playoffs as well. So Detroit's playing, and apparently the Thompson parents have been just traversing the country. They're going to all the games. They've gone from April 20th through tonight through today. They're going to Detroit today because Detroit plays the Knicks tonight in Detroit. It's like 1,400 miles a day.
That's a good problem to have. Yeah, traveling a lot. It's not like they're traveling a lot because their boss just doesn't respect their family work, their life work balance or anything.
No, they're going
That's a bonanza of fun travel.
I think it's awesome.
Going around watching your sons play basketball.
I think it's awesome. And to watch them and the fact that the teams are kind of similar. You know, and that they were really down in the dumps. There's a reason they were picking first and second a few years ago when they took Cade Cunningham and Jalen Green back to back. And that they, you know, the Rockets were probably a little ahead of the Pistons last year in getting back to 500. But the Pistons have been one of the better stories in the league this year. That's really cool, man, that they're able to. If Amen keeps playing the way that he's playing, they won't have to worry about frequent flyer miles or anything like that, man. Like they'll be. There'll be PJ everywhere.
I'm sure they're not flying on Spirit right now. So there's that part of it too.
You never know.
The biggest
thing
when you have a hellacious travel schedule like that is it's amazing how much more resilient you are as long as you abstain from alcohol.
Impossible.
Once you introduce alcohol into the mix, man, it becomes a slog.
Dude,
that is a slog.
I know. It's so fun getting drunk on planes and in airports, though. I love
it. Yeah, but the getting drunk on a plane, it's 8 times more damaging than any other type of drinking you can do.
Other than if you're
like drinking at work or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just, the altitude and everything else and the dehydration combines to just mess everything. And your sleep schedule is going to be screwed up
because
you're crossing time zones. Yeah.
I don't know, man. That all just gets you drunk faster the next time you start drinking. I don't know.
Who feels more like they got drunk on an airplane right now? Let's say hypothetically, if the Rockets lost this series.
Okay.
Lakers fans or Rockets fans? Who feels better?
Rocket fans. Rocket fans for sure.
I just wanted to confirm it and revel in it.
Yeah, a little bit. No, Rocket fans for sure. Okay, the topic they're doing now, I didn't think about this one, the Lakers. I said earlier they're going to be talking about this, or this with the Lakers on TV. Did J.J. Redick let the Lakers down? That's a good one. He totally did. That's a good one. But to answer your question, definitely Rockets, because I feel like there is a big faction of Rocket fans that feel like whatever happened in this playoffs, the regular season unto itself was enough improvement where we at least feel good about the direction, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe the expectations change when you become the two seed. You're like, all right, we at least need to win one of these series. They are getting fed a team that's not a normal seven seed in pedigree. And with the fact that you bring this up quite a bit, that since they got Jimmy Butler, this is not the same Warriors. The Warriors team that got them this seven seed is the team that they had before Jimmy Butler. The team that after they got Jimmy Butler was the one that fished them out of being in the play-in.
They're like a 55-win team with Jimmy Butler on their team. They've been one of the best defenses in the league, and that's where the matchup is versus all the other good teams in the playoffs. Going up, when you don't have good shooters on your team and you're going up against a top-three defense with Jimmy Butler – there. It's a tougher matchup than your typical seven seed. Yeah. So, and as far as Reddick, I as much as I hate to do this, I'll stand up for Reddick because the criticism is that he left the starters in too long in the previous game, and that those guys should look. You're telling me with your backs against the wall that Reddick playing the starters too long in the previous blowout loss was the reason that you couldn't just somehow try to salvage this series?
Yeah.
No, you got bigger fish to fry, Lakers fans.
Yep.
You're not a good basketball team anymore. You really haven't been for 5 years.
Yeah.
You're not the Lakers. This is not the Showtime Lakers. This is not the Kobe Lakers.
Yep.
This is the aging LeBron Lakers and Fat Doncic Lakers.
Absolutely. Okay? Yeah, absolutely. That's that's a good question for the listeners, I guess. Like, if the Rockets end up losing this series, they lose on Friday night, we come in here on Monday, and how are you feeling about it if they lose? I mean, we're obviously hoping they win, but if they lose this series, is this season still considered a success to you, or are the things that led to them losing the series something that you feel are problems that are going to be awfully difficult to overcome with this group? Because if it's going to be awfully difficult to overcome with this group, then you got to change the group in some way. You know,
I think the biggest, the funniest thing would be is almost if you look at it like the Texans' offensive line, it's that, all right, so far, by and large, the Texans have not been particularly aggressive in improving the offensive line. They've tried to take a more methodical approach. So if the Rockets feel like, yep, we definitely need to get some shooters out here, we need to tweak some things, but by and large, they make a bunch of marginal moves.
Yeah.
I think that's where some of the dread will start to seep in a little bit. Like,
yes.
Wait a second. You guys have been teasing me with Devin Booker and Kevin Durant and Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah.
And instead I get, wait a second. I'm getting a bunch of sharpshooters who aren't great overall basketball players or what have you.
Yep. For sure. Text message. Golden State's 25 offensive rebounds was a concern. I will say this.
Yeah.
I'm more concerned about the Rockets' 8 offensive rebounds than I am concerned about 18 of the 25 Golden State.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Offensive rebounds were from the bench. Which were guys in there when the game was out of hand. Like I'm more worried that the Rockets, and this is something that goes back to the last couple of games. They just haven't been. The Rockets average more offensive rebounds than anybody in the league during the regular season. Nearly 15 offensive rebounds a game. They had 8 last night. Now there weren't that many misses to offensive rebound. They were making a lot of their shots. That factors in too. But they have not been, as this series has gone on, they have not been as good on the offensive glass as they were early in the series and during the season.
Well, it's interesting. Yeah, if you look at the offensive rebounds for the starters for the Warriors, they had 7 offensive rebounds.
Yeah.
Rocket starters had 5 offensive rebounds.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
They're not putting in their typical performance. Steven Adams had 3.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, the minutes are skewed, but that part. And again, you're going against a team that the Warriors are a much scrappier team in a lot of ways than you want to acknowledge or give them credit for.
Yep. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you as we head on here in the 9 o'clock hour. Keep texting 713-572-4610. I think what's happening on Sunday could be huge for the Houston Astros, especially in a mucked up American League. we'll tell you what that is coming up next. There's another topic. I'm looking at the TV that I ignored from this Lakers Timberwolves. I tried to guess what topics they'd be talking about on First Take. Is this Anthony Edwards League now?
Ooh.
They love.
You know what, dude? You wanting to be a producer for ESPN has never been more obviously out of reach than you failing to anticipate the topics.
My open campaign to become a producer. I missed on the. Is this. You're right. Like, if you're trying to guess the topics after a big, especially the NBA is very conducive to this because of the nature of the league. I said that how does this affect LeBron's legacy will be a topic, and it still may be. It hasn't yet. Is Nico Harrison vindicated for the trade? That happened earlier. I got that one right. The one I missed was, is J.J. Redick to blame? And now this Anthony Edwards, is it his league? Face of the league, legacy, who to blame?
Face of the league is a huge one.
It's a big one for the NBA.
Ideally, ESPN hopes that it's a foreign-born player because then that's when they get the maximum controversy.
Oh,
it's like when Stephen A. Smith says that Shohei Ohtani can't be the face of the league, this, that, the other.
Oh,
so, so they miss out on that a little bit, but that's you should know that. There's a grab bag of ESPN topics that are legacy. There will be Jordan. At some point, this will be, would Jordan have gone out like this?
Jordan and MJ, or Jordan and LeBron. Yes. Yeah, there's like this, they have this box, and they open it up, and there's just all these gimmicks inside of it. And they're like, we got to do legacy here. Lance McCullers, set to make his return on Sunday in
Chicago. How will this affect his legacy?
I'll tell you what.
It is actually legitimate.
It's a legitimate question. Here's Lance McCullers. He met with the media yesterday. How's it feel to be back this Sunday?
It's been a really long road for me. I thank my teammates, coaching staff, Astros organization for standing by me and supporting me. And I'm excited to just kind of get this type of stuff done with, and then just get back into the flow of pitching for this team.
I think, Seth, we'll talk about what this could mean to the Astros in just a second. It could be big. If you're getting the Lance McCullers back that pitched in 2021 and at the end of 2022, the World Series game where he got shelled notwithstanding, I'm talking regular season. He was a really good pitcher, 7th in the Cy Young voting in 2021, and then he had a 2.27 ERA in 8 starts at the end of the season, the year they won the World Series. Like, undeniably, those statistics are really, really good. If you get that, that's a game changer. Just purely on an emotional level, I think it's really cool that he's making this comeback. It would have been really easy. He signed a fully guaranteed $85 million contract extension after the COVID season in 2020 that runs all the way through, I think, 2027.
Yeah.
He could have really easily just said, you know what, I'll just take my $85 million and I'll go, be a dad to my daughter and a husband to my wife and go move on with my life. And this was a grueling rehab. This is a 2.5 year rehab to come back with all kinds of fits and starts with it. My respect has grown for Lance McCullers.
The two things I think people forget about Lance that he deserves more credit for is A, just his performance versus the Yankees in the 2017 ALCS when he threw 24 straight curveballs for one. I'll just do that. But then the other is that he pitched through a partially torn UCL that would later require Tommy John surgery back in 2018.
18. Yep.
Yeah. He's been an absolute warrior in a sports context when it comes to fighting through injuries, sometimes to his detriment and against probably what everybody was advising him to do. He's played through a lot of injuries, and that this flexor tendon, he gave an answer yesterday that I know it sounded kind of confusing. It almost made it sound like he'd gotten a second Tommy John surgery. I think it was when he had that flexor tendon, they weren't sure if he was going to need Tommy John surgery as well. And the report afterwards was that he wasn't going to need it.
Yeah.
So I think when he was speaking yesterday, I think he was more talking about like the fear of having that a potential second Tommy John.
Yeah.
But the flexor tendon in surgery was obviously still a very big deal.
Yep.
So he's really battled through a lot of stuff. And I just, man, if he could play the complete season and on into the playoffs this year, I think all of those ESPN type topics would be totally valid and accurate, but you'd feel really good talking about it. Okay, what's Lance McCullers' legacy? What's was Lance McCullers this? Was Lance McCullers that?
Yeah.
It's we're still in the middle of it for
yep.
now.
Here's how he is talking about how he feels physically.
My last two outings, I've felt really good. I feel like my stuff's been pretty crisp. So obviously it's been a long layoff for me, and there's probably going to be things I have to work through and get my feet back under me and things of that nature. But I feel like I'm in as good of a spot as I can be coming out of rehab, rehab games, I should say, and I'm excited for Sunday.
This is what I need to remind everybody of, that I know it's been a while, and I haven't really seen him much since 2021. And when you saw him in the World Series, it was him just battling through a bad performance to try to save the rest of the staff for the next game against the Phillies. But that Lance does have a habit of coming out and really struggling through the first inning and then pulling it back in. He's really good. He's really good at scaring the hell out of you in the first inning and then reeling it right back in.
Yeah.
So just save your thumbs. Don't just don't give up after the first inning. There's a good chance that he might not have the best inning. His worst inning might be the first inning.
Maybe.
And then just see what happens after that.
I've already called it. He will bean somebody, not with malice in his heart, but he will hit a batter in the first inning on Sunday. That's my prediction. He's gonna be amped up, man.
He'll have
juiced.
No regrets about it, though, either.
No, of course not.
He likes owning the plate, you know?
Of course
he's old
not.
School in that regard.
Man, I hope he comes back. I'm telling you.
He grew up with Goose Gossage as his godfather,
that's
basically.
Right.
You know, like he's not afraid to piss people off.
No, no. If you get back a version of Lance McCullers that's anywhere close to the 2021 and 2022 healthy versions of him,
that is a
huge, huge factor that I don't think odds makers were looking at that. I think a lot of Astro fans still aren't letting themselves get to a place where they're factoring in Lance McCullers, but this is an American League right now that is just a swamp of average to a slightly above average and slightly below average baseball teams. Like there is not a runaway. Forget about the AL West. The AL as a whole, there's not a team that's a runaway team like there are in the National League. There's five or six of those teams that are really, really good and elite in the National League. You get a Lance McCullers who gives you 25 starts and they're good starts, you're winning the division. And that all of a sudden gives you in the playoffs assuming Framber, I think Framber's going to be fine, but Hunter Brown, Framber, McCullers, and then whatever else you got as your number four, that's enough to win the American League if he's good.
Look, and the big thing with Lance too is he's adamant that he's a starting pitcher and that's what he is. And he's not getting knocked off of that. That's what his approach is in the regular season. He's a career 3.5 ERA guy. And, there's highlights and lowlights along the way there. But I think his value in the postseason and his ability to piggyback start or to come in relief or to be an opener or whatever it might be, that's something that he's proven. And it still does have all that playoff experience.
Yep.
But he also, I know he hasn't played in the last couple of years, but he's also now 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's going to be a more mature version of himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he was always very professional and very mature, but I think maybe that fiery side of him where sometimes it might've been his detriment.
Yeah.
Like this, it may be a little bit more of a calm, cool and collected and consistent Lance McCullers.
Yeah.
Probably helps him out in coming back from the injury.
Yeah. Too. Yeah. Like no, that type of thing harnessed at 22 or 23 is different than when you're a little older. Like he is for sure.
Actually, this is his 31 year old season.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Boy, where does the time fly? Sean Pendergast.
It's crazy. Well, he came into the league in 2015 and he's only won 49 games, but he's pitched well when he's been out there. You know, it's just he's missed multiple full seasons. It's just it's a wild back of the baseball card for him, man. It really is. Rooting hard for him on Sunday. Some text messages coming in. Going to be in Chicago this weekend. Was only going to go to Saturday's game. Definitely going to Sunday as well now with Lance starting. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head earlier, Seth. Like, for me, if you're an Astros fan, like, this is whatever you had planned for Sunday, you know, clear the deck. You're watching this. Like, this is a big deal on Sunday. Yeah. I think it's a big deal.
Well, the other thing about Lance, too, is that it's just tough that I know and I understand and I get why people are frustrated with him, obviously, but it's not because he had, like, you know, personality issues or off-field issues or anything like that. It's simply been injuries. But he was also probably the guy who most embraced Houston in the golden era side of things. Like, he had his H-Town tattoo from way back when, and, like, he was all about it, really embracing the city. That it's hard to watch sometimes how much vitriol there is by some people towards him when really he's had really bad luck with injuries.
Yep, no doubt. If Lance comes back healthy and strong, does that increase the likelihood of Framber being traded? No. Framber, the determination to trade Framber will be based on where this team is come July, and I fully expect Framber to be on the team for the entire season. I think this team would have to be way out of it for them to move Framber Valdez potentially to a team that they could see in the postseason to get a few prospects. Like, that die was cast when they could have traded him, presumably back when they traded Kyle Tucker.
The only way Framber also gets traded if the Astros are very much in playoff contention is it's got to be a player for player deal. It's not going to be for the future.
They're not going to weaken this team.
There's not going to be a Cam Smith out there is the thing that entices them. I think it'll be that there's a stud hitter out there and available. Please don't delude yourselves into thinking it's Mike Trout.
That would be interesting. You don't see deals like that. That would be that'd be really intriguing. Like,
it would be a crazy deal. It would be awesome.
Like a deadline trade where you get a high-level pitcher traded for a high-level hitter between two playoff teams.
The reason I brought up Mike Trout, by the way, is just because I hadn't really been paying attention. And I just saw, you know, because Mike Trout was off to a ferocious start early this year. He is now back down to batting 179 with a 727.
And he left the game a couple days ago.
He did? He got injured?
Yeah, I think he got hurt again.
Oh, my God.
Yes. All right. Payne and Pendergast.
Sean, he hasn't played in the last regular seasons. He hasn't played in a regular season's equivalent of games.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, you look right. Like, if you add up
21 through 24.
Yeah. Adds up to what?
He's played 266 games.
Okay, all right.
In four seasons,
right. All right.
I forget, 2022, he played a whole season. Yep. Yeah. I mean, 100, by his standards, 119 games.
Yeah, are you kidding me? That's combat pay right there. That's heavy lifting for Mike Trout, 119 games.
So let's say in the last five seasons before this year, he had played 320 games.
Okay.
So he's averaging about 60 games
a year.
There
you go.
So, yeah.
We're proud to partner with the Insperity Invitational happening at the Woodlands Country Club tournament course this weekend. Steven Alker, David Duval, Ernie Els, John Daly, and more of the PGA Tour champions' best are on the course right here in town. An incredible weekend of championship golf. It tees off tomorrow. Entry to the tournament is free, so you just head on out there, and you can check out all these great pros. For score updates, tee times, weather notes, and more information, head to InsperityInvitational.com. What's the biggest difference between the draft room that Nick Caserio came into the league with at New England back in the early part of the 21st century and the draft room now? He mentioned that on his chat with John Harris and Mark Vandermeer. We'll let you hear what the Texans GM had to say coming up next. Payne and Pendergast, we'll get to Caserio here in a second. You know, I was in the other studio, Seth, talking to Brandon Scott and Figgy and Reggie Atitula. And they brought up one thing that we had not talked about yet. Cam Whitmore still sitting on the bench with like 3 minutes to go in the game. Like, didn't come in with the backups during that period of time. Like, Cam Whitmore, who people have been clamoring for throughout this series on the text page to get more time. Hell, there were people yesterday before this game saying, put Cam Whitmore in the starting lineup. I don't know. He got in like the last minute of the game where they took the starters out for the second time. But he was sitting there right next to the coaches with his sweats on with a big sourpuss on his face. So something must be going on with Cam Whitmore, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I know, and he's not happy.
No.
He hasn't said anything publicly, at least,
no.
I guess.
He rarely seems happy.
At least anything has been picked up.
Yeah, he rarely seems happy. So that was a he's
not on the untouchable list.
No, I think he's a lock to be included in whatever trade they make, because with whatever team, I think, can easily sell themselves on, like, well, he's going to get minutes with us. And we've seen when he does get – I mean, Cam Whitmore scored 39 points in a game towards the end of the season this year. You know, like, he can put it in the basket.
We should have our list. We'll do this maybe tomorrow, is the power ranking of least touchable. Almost like your Marcellus Wallace's wife, you know, like which one of these guys is the mobster's wife versus which one is his what do they call their
Gumar?
His Gumar,
yeah, the girlfriend.
There's the Gumar ranking, which is most touchable,
yeah,
but least touchable is Marcellus
Mia
Wallace.
Wife. Yeah, Mia Wallace, played by who played her again? What was the name?
Uma Thurman.
Oh, Uma Thurman, yeah, that's it.
Uma, who's in all those?
Uma Thurman, yeah. All those Tarantino movies. Biggest difference now with the draft room, according to Nick Caserio. He's asked this on Texans All Access this week. How has the draft room changed over the years?
So I'd say the technology is a big thing. We went away from the tags this year on the board, begrudgingly. So I was like the last of the Mohicans on that. But we survive, adapt and adjust. Yeah. So, I mean, I think
more pulling the
everything's
off.
Becoming very digitized and very technologically based.
I felt him on that one, man. I really, oh boy.
The madness with the names.
Yeah, no, and honestly, man, when you're trying to keep track of things, like organizationally, and things are changing and everything, there's just something about being able to either touch or write or, you know, make an X on a piece of paper that it's just so hard for people our age to just completely go digital. Dude. So I give Nick credit for something that he's been doing for 20 plus years a certain way. And man, it's hard. It's hard. Kids, I know you don't understand what we're talking about.
No.
But it's just, it's really, really hard to feel good about anything important or serious when you can't touch it. And I that's why I have 3 computer monitors at any given time.
Yeah.
Because I need to pretend at least like I have a piece of paper out in front of me.
Yes. I've got 4 surfaces open right now. Yeah, all my stuff. Handwritten to-do list. I bet Nick, we'll have to ask him when we have him on next week. Not that he goes to a lot of concerts or sporting events. Oh, he goes to some sporting events, actually. But I bet he's a big fan of the paper ticket. I'm a big fan of the paper ticket as opposed to the digital ticket is easier to transfer nowadays. If you're looking to buy and sell on the secondary market, you don't have to wait for the tickets to get sent to you. But man, I have a big shoebox full of tickets to stuff I went to back in the day. I
bought a ticket, not an NFT.
Right.
What is this, COVID?
Thank you.
Yeah, like, no. Yeah, give me something physical that I can hold on to.
Yeah. Hey, by the way.
It's easily counterfeitable. Yes.
By the way, and we'll get to this here. Actually, Caserio talking about D'Amico here is actually pretty funny. We'll get to it in a second. Did you see where D'Amico was sitting at the game last night, at the Rockets game?
It's up like in the third row or so?
Right behind the bench in the third row, yeah.
Is that where he was?
Okay, right behind the Rockets bench. I tweeted out a picture of it. And I said, D'Amico Ryans. Swarm consultant for the Rockets.
D'Amico was a baseball player. Do we know if he played basketball?
I would bet he did, man. He's probably just
an
athlete.
Yeah, and he went to a, his school wasn't that.
It's Bessemer, Alabama. He's probably the greatest athlete in the history of the city, possibly. We don't know. Here was Caserio on Texans All Access on how he and D'Amico settled disagreements over players in the draft.
How do you settle a disagreement if you have one in the room?
We've had very few, so we usually come to this, and if we do, he'll beat my ass, so we'll probably go with the selection that he covets.
Whichever one the pugilist D'Amico Ryans wants.
Right.
Beat my ass,
I do believe that they probably have had very few disagreements, and especially, I mean, by and large, I think like a lot of teams, they try to stick to their draft board as much as possible, so the disagreements happen before the draft.
Yeah.
You know, draft day is the extreme version of what goes on in draft rooms, although there is a lot of dysfunction on a lot of teams.
You talking about the movie draft day? Yeah.
Yeah, the movie draft day, yeah. So I think the biggest thing is, and this is where people are always uncomfortable, you know, at various times in Texans history, people have had huge ongoing arguments about who has final say. Does the GM have final say, or is it the head coach? Mm-hmm. Is it Bill O'Brien, or is it Rick Smith?
Yeah.
And I never like it, because there are a lot of really successful NFL teams where they genuinely don't have it written out in stone or in contracts or anywhere else who has final say on what. Because by and large, in a smaller organization, if you've got a good culture, you can figure out ways to work through your disagreements. Mm-hmm. The Ravens have been like that forever. That the head coach and the GM can pretty much just battle with each other. Their opinions or whatever, but you figure out a way to work it out. And an NFL team is a small enough organization that, much like a family business, you don't need a board of directors in a small family business. Mm-mm. You know, if you got a few dozen employees or what have you, you got a couple of brothers that own it, and they'll get in knockdown drag arguments at times, but they don't need to have mom settle it for them.
No.
They figure it out. No. And that's hard to do in the NFL, where you're putting a bunch of people that didn't know each other previously together as an organization. But when it's done right, you really genuinely don't have to have a hierarchy. Sometimes you're going to bend, and maybe even if you don't, like if D'Amico doesn't agree with Caserio, maybe in this instance, he's like, okay, I don't agree with you, but you just go ahead. It's cool. And then there's another time where Caserio bends or what have you.
Yep.
And it feels very much like D'Amico and Nick have that type of relationship.
Yeah, it's been working pretty good, I would say. Here is one more from Caserio, and then the guys, talk to the guys from In the Loop. They'll be in here in a couple of minutes. This is Caserio on the blur of – you want to set this one up, Seth?
This was him talking about some of the draft day trades they made or draft weekend trades they made. And John Harris had asked the question of do you kind of approach this – like a game when you're going into it, where you're just going to see where the chips fall and then you got to shoot. But there's one specific thing Caserio had said in here that I always find entertaining and I think is very genuine.
Let's start with that team. They're not interested. Go to the next team. I think we ended up trading with Vegas at 48, whatever that was. So for some reason they didn't do it. Then you go to the next team and try to figure out. Then if you lose that player, all right, do you want to continue to trade and go back in? Maybe there's a different entry point. So those are all things that you weigh. But to your point, John, it's very much like a game. You're prepared. You think it's going to happen a certain way. While something changes, then you have to adjust in turn as well.
The part where he said, I think it was the Raiders at 48. Some people could hear that and think like, what the hell? This guy doesn't know what he's doing. You hear this from GMs all over the place. You hear from coaches after games. It's that the actual entity he's even trading with at that point wasn't looming all that large in his mind. It's all about what's the compensation, what can we do for this? And you're doing it so often that he doesn't even have the immediate recall afterwards, because we're fixated on that trade with the Raiders, and we can dial in on that, whereas he might have had 20 other conversations right around that same time. And it just becomes kind of like shooting ducks at an arcade game.
Yeah, well,
you're not thinking too much about the individual entity.
He even said, I think in that interview and in other interviews he's done, Nick's been out there this week. He was on Jim Rome. He was on Kay Adams yesterday. He'll be on with us next week. That they, you know, he talked about the process of moving down from 25. You know, he looked at the teens and right about when it got into the high teens is when those talks had started to really coalesce. And when 25 came up, when it was apparent they were going to trade, they had three different deals they were looking at that point. You know, and nobody trades more than him. It would be very logical that it would be kind of blurry for Nick Caserio in those instances.
He trades so much. He's kind of like a guy who's an infamous coxman who just can't even remember any of his sexual conquests. You know, he's just like, oh, I've met you before.
So we know.
We spent a weekend in Nantucket. And he's like, I don't know. I was coaching the Patriots at the time.
He was okay. We're wondering if the word you used was
You're allowed to say coxman.
You are okay.
That's in the dictionary.
It is all right. Okay, I got you. I just remember the last time you said it.
Did I get in trouble?
Ben freaked out. No, I don't know if you got in trouble. I think Ben dumped it last time you said it. I don't know. Yeah. Either way, the other thing that adjacent to the audio we just heard from Nick, I know you saw this, Seth, where John Harris asked him, hey, what happens when you're on the phone with a team and another team's calling in? Like, you know, is it call waiting or like, what's the deal? Yeah. And that's where Nick outlined, like, it really took you inside the war room. He's like, no, pretty much like everybody involved in this process has a phone. And there's like a bunch of conversations going on. Like Lipford's talking to the equivalent of whoever the Lipford is for some other team. Like there's a lot of moving parts in this.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah.
I just putting myself in that situation. That's a lot to keep track of.
Yes. Yeah. 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 So yeah, that was
just, I would be the GM. It was like, hold on, everybody, just, will everybody just hold on
that
for
was
a minute?
Sonny Weaver, remember? Like yeah. Sonny Weaver, like, can I just do my job? He had a lot of useless people in that war room. A lot of people just sitting around doing nothing but eating pizza in that movie, man.
Yeah, and looking at prospects' girlfriends.
Remember that scene? Yeah, I kind of felt for him with that. Payne and Pendergast with you. We'll talk to the guys on In the Loop. It looks like one of those guys today is B. Scott in for one John Lopez. Hello,
that's
my
right,
friend.
That's right.
It doesn't just look like that. It is. That'd
that's
be hilarious.
The case?
That'd be hilarious if Lopez somehow got extensive plastic surgery to look like B. Scott.
Yeah, that would be one day.
If somehow one of us could disguise as the other, that would be a feat that would make us way beyond radio talent.
Give the station a lot of buzz,
I would
say that.
That part. It does wonders for our YouTube and Twitch.
Yes.
You guys are very brightly attired today.
Thanks, man.
Like bright green and bright yellow. I feel like I need to go out and do something. Thank you. You've inspired me.
I like that rocket shirt you got on.
A little change of pace, man. Brighten it up a little bit. You guys bring one tone, we bring the next, and we kind of do a little yin and yang here. It's pretty good.
Scott's got a ketchup and mustard Rockets T-shirt on with the. Which finals is that?
This is commemorative, so you know it's the, obviously, I don't have to tell you, Sean.
Yeah, yeah.
It's 30 years.
30 years,
since
man.
The championships, the back-to-back championships. So when you go to Toyota Center these days, they're doing a lot of merch from 30 years ago or 30 years commemorative sales, and that's been their, you know, their City Connect jerseys all of that, kind of tapping into that. So, yeah, I got the fever at one point
but
when I was up there.
Yeah.
It's cool because from a distance, I thought it was like an EPL jersey.
Going up for Watford, I'm guessing.
Oh, and he's got the sponsors on the sleeve.
It's a cool look.
Yeah. They definitely mixed ideas here. Kind of a basketball theme with a kind of a soccer sort of style shirt.
Yeah. Hey, do you guys have a story? We posed this question earlier. Kind of stole your gimmick a little bit with like it did turn into a
asking questions on the radio.
Yeah,
I love that. Should I copyright this?
You guys are innovative.
This has really put a crimp in our show. We can't ask questions of the audience anymore. No, but you guys do such a good job with it, and I'll ask what your question of the day is in just a second. But with this Jeff Ulbrich, the defensive coordinator, with his son costing him $100,000,
that's right,
in a fine, because that happened towards the end of our show yesterday while you guys were still on the air. We were asking people, what's the most you've cost your parents in making a mistake?
Oh, that's such a good question.
And we got some great answers. Like, we had one guy who said he and his buddies cost his parents like $700 in 1-900 charges on the phone back in like the late 80s or early 90s.
So, sub question, I don't know if you guys got this answer from that particular person.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it, I was too young to realize it cost something, or was it I'm old enough where I just feel like I can make this shake?
Didn't get the answer.
Because that's exactly where I was like, is this the 5-year-old dialing 911 not realizing there's repercussions, or is this the 17-year-old being like, I don't care?
Yeah.
I know at least once I knew my parents were gone for a long weekend, and I ordered a pay-per-view movie that I knew I was going to get in a lot of trouble for.
I see you, Seth. Okay.
When the hormones are coursing through you at that age, you know you're wrong, and you just can't help it.
It did not show up as a discreet title on the cable bill.
The title can be discreet all you want. There's only one for 29. They're not. You're not watching Braveheart for $29.99, you know?
Not back in 1989, no.
Hey, the kids
like in
these
back
days.
In the hotel charges, they'd be like, don't worry, the title's discreet back in the day when you would do pay-per-view.
Yeah,
and it was like, okay, but the only ones that cost $20 for the movie are a certain type of movie.
Yeah.
And that clerk's going to give me the eye.
The kids cannot relate to this story at all because they're like, you paid $20 for porn?
For porn, I can get it for free in 8 seconds on my phone,
Wait until they find out how much it costs to buy just a normal VHS tape.
Dude,
it was like $99 if you wanted to buy a feature film.
If you wanted to buy a movie, it's like you were buying the whole theater with it. It was crazy.
Hence the magic of taping over the little hole on the VHS tape and dubbing it.
Not the best quality, but good enough.
Right.
You know, we didn't know that HD TV was going to become a thing eventually.
So, listen, I'm just trying to screenshot Jamie Lee Curtis for a few minutes. I don't need high fidelity, okay?
That's such a hilarious thought just because I immediately thought of modern Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah.
And that made it even funnier for me.
Not screen grabbable these days.
Okay. So you guys are probably too even young to appreciate this. In the early days of the internet, where I did, like, you don't even know what the internet actually is. I just knew it was something like, okay, cool. Like, the for a long, long time, when young men would be trying to get the illicit images on their screen, there were no movies. It was a picture that downloaded line by line.
That's right.
Line by line.
And it was worth every second.
I love that you think I was
too young to get into that, because I am remembering the image as
you
I speak.
You were born into high-speed videos like that, man. We had to muck it with magazines and slow speed dialogue.
Molded by
one pixel at a time. Yeah. Like, ooh, I'm waiting for this next pixel to load.
This is going
to
feel so good in 25 minutes.
Is that a change in color on that particular portion of the screen? Right. Oh, okay, excellent.
Lots of nipple. Oh, there it is. What's the question of the day, fellas?
What are you shameless about that you probably should not be?
My love for late 90s slow download porn on AOL.
Agreed.
Obviously. Okay, so what is like a guilty pleasure kind of thing?
Well, I was thinking more just, you know, there's a couple of things from this Rockets Warriors game 5 where individuals are being incredibly shameless. The one that immediately came to mind for me was after the game, and I know you guys played this audio, Dylan Brooks being asked about, like,
he don't care.
Hey, over there, they were talking about you being dirty and trying to swipe at this man's thumb and basically give him the opportunity to clear it up. And he was like, nope, I did it.
Yeah.
Like, if it was me, I'd expect that. So, and he just left that there. And I was like, you could have just said no.
Oh, yeah. That's a good topic.
I guess for me, wishing death upon people.
Yeah, you don't care.
I don't have any. Yeah. Like, I'm just like, all right. Yeah.
Seth will tell you to go die.
I feel like mine is going to be even more controversial than that.
Oh, okay. I can't wait.
10:40. That's a tease right there.
You cannot wait.
I love that.
and I don't want to get in trouble, but it's the question, and I'm going to answer it honestly.
I love it.
And I'm shameless about it.
Okay. Crosstalk sponsored by D&M Auto Leasing. Did I tell you, everybody, that Crosstalk is sponsored by D&M Auto Lease? Yes, I did.
You love to hear it.
Yes, I did. All right, gentlemen. Well, the floor is yours. Seth, antibodies to you. I will see you for a Friday edition tomorrow, my friend.
Antibodies and a faster than dial-up internet modem speed to you.
56K, baby. 56K BPS.
Please save that. Please save the making those noises so we can drop those at some point.
Old men noises. All right, we're done. We're out of time. You're listening to KLT AM, KLT FM HD2, Houston, an Odyssey sports station.